Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary and Congregation of Miles out the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is February 17, 2023, or it is the 27th day of Adar 2026. We're going to start our first service today with a song and then with a prayer, and then we're going to go into our regular service. Taken from track number 15 is by V.T. Holliff, To the Seven Churches and the Breaking of the Seven Seals. So, that's our title. Let's call it To the Seven Churches. Okay? The Seven Seals. The signs of the times for the revelation of the Yahshua that the Yahweh gave unto him for the showing unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of the Yahweh and of the testimony of the Yahshua. That's his son. And of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:1-3. For the Yahshua gave the revelation for the showing unto his servants things which were shortly to come. Revelation 1:11. For the preparing of the way for the vision of the things, that the voice introduced the subject with a special message unto each of the seven angels, leaderships, who had charge of the seven candlesticks, churches, respectively. These messages are recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Next was John led for the scene of the solemn proceedings of the series of the events. After this, I left, and behold, a door was opened in the heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, that said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in the white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of the gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices. And there were seven lamps of the fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of the eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of the eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Yahweh Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Yahshua, the Son, for the receiving of the glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, obviously, the translators here are talking about the Father, Yahweh. I said the Son. Let's go back up and let's place the Father there and see where we go from there. Thou, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Repeat. Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, for the receiving glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw on the right hand of him, okay, that would be the Father, that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside sealed with the seventh seal. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy for the opening of the book and for the loosing of the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able for the opening of the book, neither for the looking thereon, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy for the opening and for the reading of the book, neither for the looking thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of the David, hath prevailed for the opening of the book, and for the loosing of the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of the Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy for the taking of the book, and for the opening of the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto the Father, Yahweh, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our Yahweh kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the receiving of the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in the heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard us saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 4:5. for the literal fulfillment of these things was to be hereafter, after the John's vision. That is, in the John's day, these solemn proceedings had not as yet taken place, nor were they then taking place, but they were to take place sometime after the vision, after the first century. Just how soon or how long thereafter, though, was not revealed unto the John. He was taken in the vision for the sin and for the writing of those things, those eventful things that were to take place at the time of the judicial-like throne of the Revelation 4-5 should actually convene. As for the other things, the things that follow as a result of the event, assured he who has the keys of the hell and of the death, some were to be, Revelation 1:19. That is, when this divine throne convened, then some of the things that are brought to view as a result of the event are already history, while some of them are yet prophecy. Some point back and some point forward. For the first and most important thing that takes place in this solemn assembly is the opening of the book. It should be remembered, too, that the book is sealed with the seven seals, Revelation 5:1. For it being in the seven sections, each section individually sealed, seven seals in all are consecutively broken, permitting each section for the unfolding of its own contents. For the first seal, or section of the book, discloses the things of the Revelation 6:2. The second, the things of the verse 4. The third, the things of the verse 5 and 6. The fourth, the things of the verse 8. The fifth, the things of verse 9 to 11. The sixth, the things of verses 12 to 17. And of the chapter 7. The seventh, the things of chapter 8 to 22. That the seventh seal contains chapters 8 to 22 is immediately seen by the fact that each chapter is connected with the conjunction and. In other words, for the Revelation, say for the first five chapters, is but a reproduction of the thing which were on the record within the seals, and which, as a result of the breaking of the seals, were pictorially displayed in the John sight. Now, the truth clearly points out that the revelation is not made up of something which originated with the John's vision, but that it is made up of a thing which the seal book contained and which were then made known, since the writings of the John record the things which the sealed book revealed, that the instant its seals were broken, inspiration entitled them as the revelation, as the sealed things unsealed, as the secret things revealed. For the basic points in chapters, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, four quoted are these: that a door was open, not on the earth but in heaven. That as John looked in, he beheld one sitting on a throne. That would be the Father, and that would be on the Atonement Day, the 10th day of the 7th month. Number 3, that a book sealed with the seven seals was in his right hand. And number four, that the book was then unsealed, and as a result, John was panoramically shown its contents, and that his writings, them, gave us the revelation. Number five, that there were also other books, Revelation 20:12, and that although they were not sealed, John was not led for the seeing what was written in them. That the 24 elders were sitting around the throne. That's number six. Number seven, that the Lamb also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands of the angels round about the throne. Number eight, that there were four beasts, seven lamps of the fire, candlestick, and the sea of glass. That the voice very emphatically made known unto the John that he was being given a glimpse of a prophetic event that was to take place at a later date hereafter, from his time, somewhere after the first century, that the John's vision is a forecast of the same event as that was revealed unto Daniel, chapter 7, is quickly seen from the following brief comparison. And then they give the comparison between Daniel's vision and John's vision. They saw basically the same thing. Daniel saw in Daniel 7, I beheld till the thrones were placed down, set up. It says cast down here, but we know it. They meant to set up and the operation for the judgment to begin. And then John's vision, he saw thrones. That's Revelation 20, verse 4. Verse 2, Daniel's vision, he saw, and the Ancient of Days did sit. John's vision, and one sat on the throne, Revelation 4, 2. Daniel 7, 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Revelation 15, 2, and I saw as it were a sea of the glass mingled with the fire. Daniel 7, 13, one like the Son of Man came unto the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Revelation 5, 6, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts stood a lamb. Number 5, the books were opened. Daniel 7, 10. And the books were opened. Revelation 20, verse 12. Number 6, thousand ministers unto him and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That's Daniel 7:10. Revelation 5:11. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Number 7. For the judgment was set, and the books were open. Daniel 7:10. The hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14:7. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Yahweh, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according unto their works. Revelation 20, verse 12. Both seers distinctly declare that the event which they saw was the judgment. The difference between the two seems is that Daniel was led for the looking into the sanctuary while preparations were being made for the judgment to convene, whereas John was led to look into the sanctuary after the judgment had been set up In fact, John not only saw the judgment and the progress, but he saw the whole proceeding from start to finish. For example, Daniel saw the things while the thrones were being set up and while the Ancient of the Days were moving from the administrative throne, that is the throne upon which the Yahshua sat at the Father's right hand, Revelation 22:1, unto the judicial throne, the throne in the sanctuary. Then it was that the one like the Son of Man came, and they brought him near before the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7:13. Not at his right hand, but those who were to sit on the other throne, seats which were then cast or set up, were not yet come. When John looked in, though, he saw the 24 elders already sitting on the throne. For the Daniel saw the one like the Son of Man while he was being born near before the Ancient of the Days, but John saw him after he had been brought there. Under John, his appearance was like a lamb, and one of the elders called him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Obviously, he is the Son of Man, the Savior, the King of Israel, Yahshua, the Sovereign King of Israel, King of Kings. He's Yahshua, the King of Kings. Besides these, John also saw the four beasts therein. The candlestick of the book, while it was being opened. For the repeating, Daniel saw only a part of the preparation, where John saw the opening of the judgment of the entire proceedings thereafter. For the judicial throne, inspiration makes known, consists of the judge, the Ancient of Days, of the witnesses, the angels, of an advocate, that's a mediator, between Yahshua the Son and his Father, on behalf of the sins of mankind, and he's an advocate, the Lamb, of a jury, the elders of the defendants, the beast, and of the ruler, the Lion of the tribe of the Judah. That the four beasts are a symbolical representation of the saint, just as the beasts of Daniel 7 are symbolical of the nation, is made clear by the beast's own statement. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto Yahweh by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. For the student of the advancing truth will also note that the Daniel refers to but one judicial session, although he does make mention of the judgment twice, first in the Daniel 7:10, and second in the verse 22. This will be seen in the following eight paragraphs. In the first 14 verses, Daniel describes all he saw while in vision, and in verse 15 he explains how grieved and troubled he became after considering the damaging work which the fourth beast did. Then in verse 16 he tells that he approached the angel who stood by and requested his interpretation of the things seen. And the compliance with this request, the angel answered, these great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:17-18. This exceedingly brief interpretation did not satisfy Daniel. And being particularly interested for the knowing in the detail about the things described in the verses 7-14, with the truth concerning the judgment as well as concerning of the four beasts and of this little horn that had the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, for the Daniel is with the requesting further elucidating again of the necessity of mentioning the judgment accordingly, for the angel readily explained confining his interpretation strictly unto the fourth beast symbolization and for the judgment. Daniel 7, then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And that's what's happened today. This fourth beast is devouring the whole earth right now. In the process of it, with Mystery Babylon, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. What dominion? That's this beast. That's this fourth beast that had expanded from the cross, that was in charge of the cross. He's expanded into three other phases since the cross to consume and to destroy it until the end. So the saints take the kingdom, and for what purpose? That's to consume and destroy this here kingdom of the beast and to the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:23-27. So who are these saints of the Most High that has this everlasting kingdom of David? That's the 144,000, the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church. That's who the saints are given they're the ones that are given the judgment to take away the dominion of this Catholic church in the end time. No wonder the old devil is trying to get those 144,000 hunted down and destroyed before they are sealed. No wonder, because he knows what's going to happen when they are sealed. Clearly then, Daniel saw only one judicial sitting that made mention of it twice. First, in the connection with the describing what he saw in the vision, and second, in the connection with the obtaining of the angel's interpretation of the vision. For the judgment takes place, as the angel explained unto the Daniel, after the little horn arises, and before the saints possess the kingdom, see Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, 9, and 22. Verily, the John having been shown about the entire judicial proceeding is with the describing the judgment and the three parts and the three different sittings. One, before the half-hour silence, Revelation 8, 1. One after the half-hour silence, and third one during the 1,000 years of the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 11. This truth is seen from the following facts. During the period of the sixth seal, while the first session of the judgment is on, the four beasts rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Yahweh Almighty," that's talking about the Father, "which was and is to come." Revelation 4:8. But when the seventh seal is opened, there is silence in the heaven, for the beasts hold their peace, also the lightnings, the thunders, and the voices see, chapter 4, verse 5, about the space of half an hour, Revelation 8:1. Well, the psalmist clearly reveals that the first session of the judicial proceedings comes unto a close and that the second session commences after the silence is over. Now, this is interesting. So it says, and the second session commences. Well, that second session is the judgment of the living. And so the judgment of the living, that's what V.T. Hollis says here. But we're going to have to leave that open for discussion. Okay, for the third session, as the one during the 1,000 years, is at the great white throne, Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12, for the throne of him from whose face the earth and the heaven flee away. At this latter throne, there is no sea of glass, no beast, no lion, no lamb, and although there are lesser thrones, Revelation 20, verse 4, for the inspiration does not flatly say who sits on them. Now, the nature of the judgment in each of the three judicial sittings and the time they actually occur will be seen in the following analytical examination. Although the proceedings of the first two sessions are somewhat different, they are in all other respects similar. For the third, however, is entirely unlike the first two, for the differences are seen in that before the half-hour silence occurs, there is at the throne a sea of the glass, like unto the crystal. Okay, so Revelation 4, 6. And no one stands on it, but after the half hour silence passes away, for the scene changes. For the sea of glass is mingled with the fire. And then they had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Yahweh, Revelation 15:2. In other words, at the first judicial sitting, there is no one standing on the sea of the glass, and the sea itself is like unto the crystal, while at the second sitting, the sea appears like unto a fiery stream, and the saints stand on it. For the truth that the first two sessions take place before the earth fades away, before the world present state of the being comes unto an end, also the truth that the second session closes with the saints who live in the very end of the time of the image of the beast, the time just before the earth fades away. All these provide irrefutable evidence that the first two sessions, as the premillennial ones, bring the present world unto an end, and the judgment is nothing more or less than the separation of the tares from the wheat, both among the dead and among the living, that it is the interviewing of all the guests with an eye single for the determining who have and who have not the wedding garment on, the very thing that decides who is to be left and who is to be taken into the destruction as the earth flees away. That the dead are judged in the first session, and the living is judged in the second session, is seen from the civilization itself, as Ephor pointed out, at the first sitting, no one stands on the sea of glass, and the sea itself is as clear as crystal. But at the second sitting, the saints stand on the sea, and it is mingled with the fire, which is a symbol of life. Then too, in the first two sittings, the Savior is represented as a slain lamb, Revelation 5:6. Concretely placing the events during the probationary time and the last parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in now, the 12th parabolic hour, since 2002, started Kermit, Texas, while the blood of the Lamb is available for the atoning for the sins of the man, and Daniel is with the declaring that the judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High. He should have put 144,000 there, after which the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So the kingdom is not possessed by the saints until they get, after they get sealed, the 144,000, and then they take possession of this everlasting kingdom that Yahshua has come to this earth to sit up with the house of David, with the prophecy of Daniel 2:44-45, where it says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahshua of heaven set up a kingdom here upon this earth, which shall never be destroyed or left to other people, but it shall stand forever. That's what these saints take possession of, the 144,000. But Yahshua has to come at first and set this kingdom up. And then he gives, once the 144,000 is sealed, he gives them the possession of it. Solidly sets the time of the judgment ahead of the time that the saints receive the kingdom. Okay, consequently, the weight of the evidence again and again stands out for the showing that the judgment is nothing less or more than an inspection of the guests who have come unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, who have joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church since 1844. Those that are then found without the wedding garment on are cast out. In other words, present truth in every dispensation, whatever dispensation you're in, the wedding garment represents you living up to all the present truth light that is shining on your pathway at that time. That's your wedding garment. Also, the truth that at length the temple is open, that the seven angels and the beast come out of it, that it is then filled with the smoke from the glory of the Yahweh, so that no man is able for the entering into it till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Revelation 15:5-8. Till the cities of the nations fall. Okay, now we're going to have the cities of not only the United States fall. I just read the newspaper, the city where we live close to here in Texas, Austin, is the 13th largest city in the United States. And it's got criminal activity going in it. It has to be destroyed. Okay. Till every island flees away and the mountains disappear. Okay. Revelation 16:19-20. All these definitely point out that with the second sitting, that's for the judgment of the living, that started in 2002, the judicial throne adjourns, probation closes for all. Okay, let's go back over again. All these definitely point out that with the end of the second sitting, the judicial throne adjourns. Probation closes for all of those that had their names and the seven books of the seals that have already been judged. And then probation closes for all those whose names that is taken out of those books of judgment, the seven sealed books, and all of those that had made a profession of faith but didn't live up to it, their names were taken out also. The plagues fall and the earth flees away. Then commences at the great white throne of the executive judgment of the dead, of those who do not come up in the first resurrection at the end of this 12th parabolic hour, or in this 12th parabolic hour, while probation still lingering, and of those who, rather than being translated, are slain at the brightness of his coming. For the preceding of these latter events, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought the miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Okay. In other words, idolatry work. Those are the people that are idolaters. These are worshiping the works of their own hands, and worshiping money, and worshiping clothing, or whatever, or eating food. These both were cast alive into the lake of the fire burning with the brimstone. That would be Revelation 19:19-21. And the remnant, the rest of the wicked world, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:20-21. Then it is that the angel binds the devil, the last rebel, and the earth flees away. Thus the millennium commences. And thus the angel casts the devil into the bottomless pit, into a place where it is impossible for any other being to stand, shuts him up, and sets a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, till the second resurrection. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them during the 1,000 years. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Yahweh, the Father, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according unto their works. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 5, 11 and 12. For the John saw that after these things took place, the sea gave up the dead, which that were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according unto their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of the life was cast into the lake of the fire. Revelation 20, verse 13 to 15. See also the Great Controversy, page 480. It is strictly biblical that at the commencement of the millennium, all the wicked are slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls are filled with their flesh, Revelation 19:21, and that the judged at the great white are the dead, and also that subsequently all the judged are resurrected at the end of the 1,000 years, that is, as the John puts it then, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. These facts certify in no uncertain term that there are none living on the earth during the 1,000 years, and that those who do come up in the second resurrection are all the unrighteous ones, all of those who do not come up in the first resurrection, Revelation 20, verse 6, and who are subject unto the second death, verse 14. Moreover, as there is but one judicial city during the millennium, the thrones of the verse 4 must be in the session jointly with the great white throne. Furthermore, it is not likely that the great white throne would be in the session all by itself. And too, seeing that the first resurrection, for the resurrection at the commencement of the millennium, brings up all of the saints, the holy ones and none others, that follows at the second resurrection. The resurrection at the end of the millennium brings up all the unholy with not a righteous one among them. All these final incidents in the closing hours of the gospel prove over and over that not a one of the wicked is to be living during the 1,000 years, for the years after earth has fled away and before it is made new, and consequently during all that time there is no one to be saved and no one to be lost. Let's continue on. We're finishing up this part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're on page 24. We last left off where it says, during all that time there is no one to be saved and no one to be lost. That's top of the page of 24 on to the seven churches, the breaking of the seven seals. Okay, it says, as previously, we got 12 minutes to go, as previously shown, all the wicked at the commencement of the millennium, first the beast and the false prophet, then the remnant, the rest of the world. See Revelation 19:20-21. For the saints, though, those who are living and those who are resurrected at the commencement of the millennium, are all to live and reign 1,000 years with Yahshua, not Yahshua with them. The rest of the dead, the whole world, live not again until 1,000 years are finished. Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5. I go, said to Yahshua, for the preparing of a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. John 14, 2 and 3. Plainly they that live during the millennium live with Yahshua in the mansions above. Then after the 1,000 years reveals John, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were, had been judged every man according unto their works. Those wise are wicked are raised from the dead when the 1,000 years are expired, and as a result, Satan is loosed out of his prison, making it again possible for him to deceive those whose names were not found in the Book of Life, Gog and Magog, for the getting them together for the battle, for the number of whom is as a sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. Okay, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10, 14. For this last event and the final drama of sin brings sinless eternity onto the earth. Still further, as both the living and the resurrected saints are taken to live and reign with the Yahshua, and as all those who are judged at the great white throne are judged while dead, the truth stands out more and more clearly that there are no wicked living during the 1,000 years. Indeed not, for the earth and the heaven have by then fled away, moved out of their original sphere, become empty of life, and void. Isaiah 24:1-6. Jeremiah 4:23-26. A bottomless pit. Revelation 20:1. On which no one can stand. Necessarily the saints, those who are left, live and reign 1,000 years with the Yahshua and the heaven of heavens, where the many mansions are. At the termination of the 1,000 years, descends the holy city, the mansion, New Jerusalem, and the saints with it, Revelation 21:2. From then on, the saints do not live with the Yahshua, but he lives with them, Revelation 21:3. As previously pointed out unto the John, the time of the commencement of the judgment was loosely stated to be hereafter, from his time. But under Daniel, it was definitely shown to convene sometime after the beast's little horn arose and before the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel 7:8-11. For the exact date, though, is determined by the Daniel 8:14. Under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, for the terror shall be taken out of it at that time, while the cleansing is in progress. The church proclaims, fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14:7. For a complete exposition of Daniel 8:14, read tract number 3, The Judgment of the Harvest. It says, as to the book seal with the seven seals, as the only book that no man in heaven nor on earth is able to open, neither the elect their own, save the line of the tribe of Judah, it unquestionably is the book in which the deeds of the mankind are chronicled, as the seals themselves disclose. For this fact, inspiration again confirms. Thus the Jewish leaders made their choice. Their decision was registered in the book which John saw in the hand of him that sat upon the throne. For the book which no man could open in all its vindictiveness, this decision will appear before them in the day when this book is unsealed by the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yahshua's object lesson, Christ's object lesson, Ellen G. White, 294. What the book contains now becomes exceedingly clear, for it contains the history of the world and the deeds of all mankind. And of course, logic rules that with the opening of the book, the judicial investigation of the deeds of the professed people of Yahweh should begin as the revelation itself discloses. Moreover, since both the working, or the wording and the symbolism of the revelation refutes any interpretation other than the one herein made, the truth of these things now stand fast and sure. For the sanctuary, the church, the place which harbors the people of Yahweh, is therefore the one to be cleansed. Eventually, though, as foreshown, all mankind, even the heathen, must come before the judgment bar of the Yahweh, before the great white throne. Thus the event was actually to be hereafter from John's time, the time in which were to be investigated the things which took place before John's time, and the things which were to take place after his time, Revelation 1:19. For the deeds of all mankind, from the beginning unto the end, prophetically the judgment was set and the books were opened, but no one in the whole vast universe of Yahweh was worthy open the sealed book or even to look therein, save the Lamb, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our King and Advocate, creation's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thus it is that as our only defender, the one who has lived among us, he is the only one who can, through the personal experience and understanding, standingly and sympathetically, lay open the secrets of the past, of the present, and of the future, as the only one worthy for the opening of the book and for the defending of the fallen humanity. For the door that opened at the commencement of the John's vision points back unto the Day of the Atonement as the only day throughout the year in which the door between the Holy and the Most Holy was open. For the two apartments thrown into the one, and at the same time the outer door closed. So being shown the commencement of the antitypical atonement, John saw the inner door open, the two apartments thrown into one. In the typical atonement, everyone's destiny among the professed people of Yahweh was forever fixed. Those who complied with the demands of the law were left to live, and those who did not were cut off from among the people. Thus it must also be in the antitypical atonement. In the typical service, only those who had come before Yahweh with the confession and repentance and whose sins, through the blood of the sin offering, were transferred to the sanctuary, had a part in the service of the Day of the Atonement. So in the great day of the final atonement and investigated judgment, the judgment of the first two sittings, that's the judgment of the dead and the judgment of the living, the time for the separating of the tares from the wheat, the bad fish from the good, from among both the dead and the living, the harvest, the only cases considered are those of the professed people of Yahweh, the great controversy, page 480. Those who have at one time or another accepted the call and have the right to be clad in a wedding garment. Thus the question, if the judgment first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. That should be gospel of the Yahshua, for the word gospel means translated into the blood, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's what brings you salvation. Faith and practice. As the books of the record are open in the judgment, the lives of all whom the net church of the salvation has ever caught, good and bad alike, come into review before Yahweh. They're to be segregated. There the eligible of each is examined and determined. Indeed, the eligibility of each is examined and determined. Indeed, the judgment is the heart. The judgment is not, it says, that indeed the judgment is the harvest. No, the judgment is in the time of the harvest. There's a difference, folks. They left out the preposition here, the end. Because if people get to thinking, well, the judgment's at the end of the harvest, well, I don't have to worry about it. I'll just come to the harvest. And if I'm harvested, I automatically know that I'm saved. No. He goes through the judgment in the time of the harvest. And when the harvest is over, if you didn't come to the judgment, you're lost. Yes, any tares ever to be plucked out and set aside for the destruction, and any wheat ever to be placed in the barn kingdom for the master's use is segregated on the antitypical day of the atonement, beginning with those who first lived upon the earth. Our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes the premillennial judgment with the living members of the church. For the glory of Yahweh is represented by the likeness of the precious stones, and the rain above his judicial throne reveals his never-failing promise and great mercy. This he made known unto Noah when he proclaimed that this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of the flesh and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. Genesis 9:12, 13, and 15. This brings the end of our study. This is our contact. That's at the 11th hour call, and that's we're going to close now with a song.
Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thus for me. Placed in my hands are the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Solemnly now I wait for thee. Ready my heart I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear. Voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the weight knows fall on my head, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my yard I will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with the children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready my yard I will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.